Yes, well, good morning. I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. I am thankful to be here this morning. So I'm rejoicing in this opportunity again to be with you brothers here and to spend the day together. I am struggling with a little bit of a cold I woke up with this morning, so you bear with me and I'll endeavor to share what I feel the Lord has put upon my heart the last couple weeks here. So maybe we'll come to the Lord in prayer and I'll begin to share there. Yes, eternal righteous Lord in heaven, Father, as I come before you this morning, I do thank you. I love you, Lord. I do pray this morning, Father, as I endeavor to share here, that you give me inspiration and fill me with your goodness today that I can share. And I pray for the ears of the brothers and sisters here, Lord, that they could hear the things you want them to hear this morning, Lord. And I pray that you bless my tongue that I could share the things you want me to share, Lord. Give me clear thoughts. And just be with us here as a church today. I thank you. I love you, Lord. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. So. So what I endeavor to share about this morning is something that I at times in life that can be I'm sure maybe many of us face it is being encouraged or staying encouraged in the Lord. And I know this morning that's where my heart is, that I could remain encouraged in God's Word. And when I open up the Bible, I could be able to read the Bible and be able to apply it to my life. And yeah, that's where I endeavor to be this morning, because I know this morning that to be encouraged this morning is the will of God. It's the will of God that each one of us is encouraged, because any level of discouragement I know in my own life, it drags on me spiritually, and it takes away my joy and my strength. And any level of discouragement takes down my level of faith and my trust in God. I know this morning that it's God's heart that each one of us remained encouraged in His Word and His ways. Because I know that we all know many men who got discouraged in all kinds of struggles. Maybe it was church problems, or maybe it was things that happened in life and they threw in the towel. I know this morning discouragement can do that to each one of us. One of the things I want to focus on this morning is staying encouraged in tough times. Because I know sometimes God brings things our way, maybe to test us or maybe to see how we respond to Him. And to see how we handle it. Because there's many men we can read, there's many examples in the Scripture and in the Bible of many men that followed God in the Bible, and they faced tough times, and they had choices to make also. And we're going to face those tough times in life also. So the last couple months in our devotions at home as a family, we've been going through the book of Genesis and through the book of Exodus and for our family devotions, the book of Genesis is one of the, I never realized it, or how should I say it, I was overjoyed at the beautiful opportunities for devotions that come out of there, out of Genesis and out of Exodus. It makes devotions a delight and very enjoyable to have with the family. There's many beautiful things we can pull out of there to category with our own lives. So, and first of all, when I think about being encouraged this morning, that's why I went to Genesis as Joseph there, and Genesis there, he stayed encouraged in many struggling times and many tough times that he faced. And we can ask ourselves this morning, what was it about Joseph? He lived an amazing life. As you read through Genesis there and you read through all the things he went through, it's almost like he lived above reproach. And I mean, it seemed like the tougher the times that he faced, the more he shone for God. And I was just really blessed with his life through there. And it's a challenge for me to lift up my life and compare it to Joseph. So it's a challenge. As we can see Joseph there this morning, we can ask ourselves, what was it about Joseph that made him the man he was? What was it about his life, or what was it about him? I mean, we have many godly men in the Bible this morning. We have David, we have Moses, But we can see this morning that as we read through there, we see that David had his little struggle in life and with that situation with Bathsheba, and Moses had his little struggle in life there with he displeased God with a little bit of frustration that he had there, and he hit the rock twice. When I read through them, and I no downgrading on them, but I look at Joseph's life, I don't read that he had any struggles in that area or any of those ways. And when I read about those, when I read about Moses there not being able to enter into the promised land because of that little bit of frustration, it challenges me. It challenges me in my life. And you know, this morning we can ask ourselves, what was it about Joseph? I mean, I believe this morning that we can clearly see that Joseph had a close walk with God. And I believe Joseph had that desire in his heart to please God. And I believe that anyone who has that desire to please God is going to have that desire in a lot of other areas in his life. He's going to have a desire to please his dad. And as we start out in Genesis there, we can see that, we see that Joseph had a close relationship with his dad and his family there. And you can see that he wanted to please his dad. And I believe his dad had a lot of trust in him. And he asked him a lot of times about, I believe he banked on Joseph. He asked a lot of times about the situations that was going on with out there with the sheep and his brothers, and sometimes his brothers he had to bring back a negative report about his brothers, and it put him at odds with his brothers there. And Joseph may have wondered through those times why a lot of these things happened to him there, but we can see at the end of his life that he. We can see at the end of his life that he told his brothers that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He came to that point where he's seen that all the things he went through in his life was for a purpose, and that God was that God used these things for his own life. And if we could be there sometimes when we face struggles and challenges in life, and we can view it in that prospect, maybe it would help us a lot to view it as God is God was doing that for a reason. So I'm going to be sharing I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of reading. I had quite a bit of reading in here, but I'm not going to do a lot of reading because of the time. I'm going to be going through Genesis 37, 39, 40, 41, 42. I'm going to be pulling out of each one of those. And at the same time we was going through this, I found a book that I was reading on the life of Joseph also. So I got some little snippets out of that book that it was a tremendous blessing to me. It was the book was called God Send a Man. And it was a beautiful book. I know that there was a lot of hypotheticals in there that could have been, but nevertheless it was a beautiful book to read. So we'll look at the life of Joseph here, and we'll look at the trials he went through. And it made him the person he was. God put him through these trials so he could use him at just the right time. First of all, we see in chapter 37, we see the trials that, we see the unfair treatment he received in his life. And we see that his father, he loved him more than the rest, it says there in chapter 37. And I know that we would all agree this morning that, and that's not good for any parent to love one child more than the other or treat one child better than the other, and it probably wasn't good for Joseph either. So he started out there with his brothers disliking him and having struggles with him. In verse 20 there it says that his brothers saw that his father loved him more than the rest, and they couldn't speak a peaceable word about him, and that put him at great odds. In verse 20 of chapter 37, they conspired to kill Joseph. And then go to verse 28, it says that they sold him for a prophet. And I believe this morning that was very degrading when they bundled him up and sold him to the Ishmaelite, the caravan there. And there's as we read all through all that mistreatment that he went through out there, one of the amazing things that stuck out to me that you can't read where Joseph put up much of a fight, that he put up a whole lot of resistance. It seemed like he was very much at peace with the situation he was in. Even when he got sent to Potiphar there, and he was in Potiphar's palace there, you don't read of him maybe even sharing with Potiphar anything about God or even going against his idolatrous beliefs or his heathen practices. But it says through there that Potiphar saw that God was with Joseph, even through the situations he was facing, and he had a Joseph had he was in quite a predicament there, and Potiphar could see it because of his house prospering. It said that everything prospered in there, and I believe that Potiphar could see that there was a blessing of God upon Joseph's life, and another thing I thought about there is I imagine that Joseph, he had that look of encouragement on his face as he was there as a slave, and I believe in those days that Potiphar saw many. He saw many slaves come through there, and he saw many servants come through there with a downcast look of maybe depression on them, and as he seen Joseph there, he seen that encouragement, and he seen the blessing and how his house was prospering and how things were going. I believe that God was much glorified, even though that God was glorified by Joseph's life, because Potiphar could see that things were going well there. And I was thinking through that Joseph, he knew God. He knew God, and I wonder how much he prayed. How much he prayed for Potiphar's house there, how much he prayed for the palace, and he knew the situation there, and he's seen the darkness that was around him. And I just wonder how much he prayed. And as we look at that and we see that how that house prospered, I imagine it was because of Joseph's prayers and Joseph's walk with God. And this morning, us as dads, I see it in my own life that many of my days I prosper because of maybe intercessory prayer for my wife or intercessory prayer from the church, because we don't make it through this life without people praying for us or caring for us. So, you know, Joseph, he may have wondered why these things were going on. And I don't know how he felt about everything. And I don't get to a whole lot of details, but I wonder if he ever came to the breaking point. Came close to a breaking point. He may have. And I know I've been there. I know I came close to a breaking point in my life. Maybe it can be with not feeling well, or maybe we can have some health issues that we're dealing with, or just all kinds of little things. And maybe we think that we can't take it no more, or maybe we think that nothing good will ever come out of this situation. And I came to Jesus that way. I came to Jesus that way with being sick and for a couple years, and thinking that nothing good would ever come out of this situation. But the life of Joseph here is an example of God making something good out of something bad. And you know, God, He wants to be lifted up, and He wants to be lifted up in these situations. And He wants to be lifted up. When He lifts us up, He wants to be glorified. He wants to be glorified through that situation. And I believe Joseph did that. Joseph glorified God through that situation because he was encouraged. You know, there's a lot of things that could have happened. We could say this morning, let's say what would have happened if Joseph would have escaped. You know, he could have been on that caravan, and if he would have been resisting, he'd have been looking for an opportunity to escape, so he didn't have to go to Egypt. And I know God could have raised someone else up, but it would have been a different story. It wouldn't have been the one that God would have wrote in the Bible. You know, let's say he would have made it back home. There would have been much rejoicing, and rightfully so. There would have been much jubilance in that camp. You know, but what about God's plan? What about the plan that God had for Joseph's life? What about the dreams when he was young that his brothers bowed down to him? You know, what about the butler and the baker in the prison? No one would have been able to, no one would have been there to interpret the dreams. It's just a whole line of things there had it not went that way. And what about the dreams that he interpreted for Pharaoh? Had that not happened, there would have been no grain in Egypt. There would have been nothing stored up. His family could have starved, and Egypt could have starved, and no deliverance from Israel, for Israel in those times. You know, but I believe Joseph waited on God, and those things he just followed God, and those things worked out that way. It worked out the way God wanted. When Barry was in Haiti a couple years back, and they had that kidnapping situation, and Cam had a policy that they would not pay ransom for any. And somehow the money came through and someone paid the ransom, but the gangs never released the hostages. They kept them. And it went a couple more weeks, and they escaped anyhow. God wanted the glory. And I'm not downing anyone for paying the ransom. I'm just saying God he got them free without the ransom. So, yeah. From being a slave in Egypt to Pharaoh's wife accusing him of accusing him wrongfully, being put in prison on false charges, spending years in jail for something he didn't do. You know, this morning, with the temptation that Pharaoh's wife brought to Joseph, many men went down in defeat in that temptation. Many men didn't make it through that. Many men didn't go the way of Joseph. But Joseph stayed pure in that. He did it because he was walking with God and he was encouraged. And if we're not walking with God this morning and we're discouraged, we're set up to fail in that situation or any other situation like that. We're setting ourselves up for failure. Joseph told Potiphar's wife, he said, "How can I sin against my God in that way?" To view God that way this morning, it was the answer. It was the answer for the situation that he was in. In Psalms 119, it tells us that, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way?" It says, "By taking heed to the word of God." That's where Joseph was at. He was there this morning. He took heed to the word of God in his life. And you know, being accused of being accused of something we didn't do is a hard pill to swallow. And if we're not encouraged when that happens, if we're not encouraged in walking with God, it's very easy for us to get bitter. It's very easy for us to get have strife rises up in your heart. I faced those things in life. Being wrongfully accused, I don't know what it is. It happened not long ago. I shared with my wife that my heart was resistant in many, many ways. And I knew that I didn't do the things that or say the things that he was accusing me of. But I resisted. And when I just surrendered it to God, brought it to his feet, then I could have peace with it. My nephew Brian was in at the Texas border, and they was accused of child abuse. One of their remember their son broke his arm, and they were accusing him of that abuse, and it was wrongfully accused, and it went on for 4 or 5 weeks. They were threatening him with taking the children and all of that, and they had some trying times. And they surrendered that thing to God and did as much as a blessing they could be to the CPS workers. And at the end of 4 or 5 weeks, one of the CPS workers told Brian that they came to him and told him that they were so blessed how nice they were to work with. And they were just, I don't think they meet many nice people. When you're trying to take people's children away, they're not very nice. And another one told him that if they have any more troubles or any more struggles, that they should make sure they don't go back to that hospital. That hospital has a bad reputation of that very thing, of making problems like that. And yeah, you know, this morning, if anyone had a right to be bitter in their life or discouraged, it was Joseph. You know, many men in the Bible, they faced trials in their life, and it looked like God may have turned their back on them, but he never did. He was there the whole while. When God is there, we can be encouraged in hard times. Joseph stayed encouraged. If not, he would have failed. And I shared about coming to Jesus that way. In 2014, I was sick for maybe a couple years, and I didn't feel like I'd seen the sunshine for I don't know how long. And I was so discouraged. I was beside myself. I sit in the barn for I don't know, maybe weeks, and my wife prayed for me in the house, and I had bitterness try to come in my life, and all kinds of struggles, and I would see my dad. He was working with me, and I would see my dad, and he was in his 70s, and he felt better than I did. He had more energy, and he felt better than I did, and when I broke through and I surrendered the fight, my struggle was I thought I was dying, and I had that in my head, and I knew I wasn't ready. And I believe that was God bringing that to me. Until I got ready, till I felt peace and was okay with dying, that was the ticket. Being okay, being right, being okay with death is the ticket. The Bible is powerful this morning. It has the power to convict us, and it has the power to encourage us. His brothers, I believe, Joseph's brothers, they were very convicted, and they always fell in that trap of aligning all the bad things that was going on to what they did with Joseph. They aligned that. When something bad would happen, they would align it with what they did with Joseph. Potiphar was also convicted. After Joseph interpreted his dreams, it came to his heart that Pharaoh was convicted. After Joseph interpreted his dreams, he said, "Where can we find such a man as this?" He knew he was looking at a man of God. As we get there, at the end there, I imagine the excitement that Joseph felt in his heart when he was walking into Pharaoh's palace from the dungeon. I believe God may was giving him a glimpse of what he was doing and what he wanted from him. Here it was 13 years since he left his father's house, and he was now 30 years old, and now it was a long trial, and it was hard on him. But every one of those things played a part in bringing him to the place where he stood. He ended up being the second in command in Egypt. He went to there from being sold as a slave and being lied about by Pharaoh's wife in prison. When they gathered there that morning at Pharaoh's palace, I had to wonder if Potiphar and his wife were there. It was only like 3 years later. He was in jail for 3 years. I wondered that as I was going through here, if they were there, and I wondered the situation that they were seeing. And that book I read said that they didn't think maybe that Potiphar maybe believed his wife through that, but he had to follow through for the situation they were in. He had to put Joseph in prison. As it come to pass there, Joseph was put in charge. And Pharaoh, he asked his advisors where there was a better man than Joseph. And it was in Genesis 41, verse 33. See, therefore, I'll read a couple of them here. "Now therefore, let Pharaoh seek out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and let him take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let him gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up the corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be stored up against the land for another 7 years, a famine which shall be in the land in Egypt, and this land shall, and the land perish not through famine." And the things was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servant. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a man, such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" It's an amazing thing that Pharaoh could see that the Spirit of God, he didn't even know, you don't read that he knew nothing about the Spirit of God, but he could see that it was in Joseph's life. And as we see the seven good years here come to an end, and the grain was all stored up, and just as predicted, the famine started after that, and things started getting bad. And back in Canaan, things were getting tough for Joseph's family. When news got there that there was grain in Egypt, I believe there was some reserve in Joseph's brothers about going to Egypt. I believe we read through that they really struggled. They waited a long time before they went and surrendered their heart to go to Egypt. They knew that's where Joseph went when they sold him. And I believe through there, as we can see, that they thought about Joseph much. And I believe their conscience, they struggled with that situation ever since they sent him to Egypt and they sold him. I was wondering this morning about Joseph being a second in command. He was in a second in command for 7 good years and in Egypt there. And it doesn't say that he never sent anyone to check on his father, or never sent anyone to check on his family to see if they were there. I believe that Joseph walked close with God, and he didn't feel that that's something that God wanted him to do, or I'm sure that he would have sent people to Egypt or to Canaan to seek out his family. When Joseph's brothers finally went to Egypt to get the grain, they came in the presence of Joseph. It was 22 years since they saw him. And it said in there that after one look, he recognized his family. He recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. And you can see through this here that Joseph wanted to see if they ever changed. When they came there, he seen his brothers, and he wanted to see. He wanted to check their heart condition to see where they were at in their lives. And he started testing them. And it may have looked, as you read through there sometimes, it may have looked like that he was being a little bit rough on them. But he wanted to check if God was working in their heart or not. And Joseph may have recalled his own dreams. And he has maybe thought about how God was bringing them to fulfillment because he was faithful. He may have at this time thought about how his brothers treated him. I'm sure that he thought back at that, or maybe he was maybe at a more spiritual level than that. Maybe he's seen God's plan and that whole thing. I don't know, but I sometimes think that maybe he remembered all them hard times that they put him through and all that. But I know that. As we read through there, he's seen Benjamin was not with him. And he remembered his own hard days that he had. And I'm sure that as we see there, he started testing them. And he wanted to make sure Benjamin was okay. So, and in Genesis 42:8, I'm going to read. Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, "Ye are spies to come see the nakedness of the land." And they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but we come to buy food, and are thy servants. We are all one man's son. We are not spies, but servants, no spies." And he said unto them, "Nay, you've come to see the nakedness of the land? Ye have come." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not." And Joseph said unto them, "Is it that I spake unto you, you saying ye are spies? And ye shall be proven by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come hither." He wanted his younger brother to come, and he wanted to see if they were saying the truth or what was going on there. In these verses, we see him testing them to see if they changed. He threatened them with throwing him into a pit. And he, like they did to him 20 years before, that pit that they were talking about was a little hole in the ground like this, and it was deep into the dirt. And he ended up putting him down there for 3 days, but he left him out. I believe that Joseph had a compassionate heart, and I believe that he had mercy on him. He maybe thought of his family at home, and maybe his dad, and he maybe thought of all his brothers' families. So he left him out after a couple of days and sent them back home. And we know the story this morning of all the testing that went on there. When Joseph saw how they stood up for Benjamin and they were willing to go to jail for him, he knew that they had a changed heart. When Joseph revealed his identity there at the end, I can't imagine the thoughts that were going through their minds. It was a beautiful thing to think about that they would see their brother in that way. After that many years, and I wondered how they had to explain that to their dad, and when they went back to get their dad, there's many beautiful things you can go through the book of Genesis and Exodus, and it was a blessing for our family to go through. In closing here, we know that Jacob went up to Egypt, and when they were there for the next 430 years as we go through Exodus there, And I'm sure Jacob maybe remembered God telling Abraham that they were going to be strangers in the land for the next 430 years, and here was the beginning of that. It's the beginning of that 430 years. And We see this morning that Joseph had a part in saving the people of Israel, but he also was the one that led them to the land that they were enslaved at. So that's all I have to share here. So thank you very much for listening, and bless you.